UMGoBlue.com. By fans, for fans. Since 1999.
Hello. Welcome to this edition of the UMGoBlue.com podcast. This is Phil Callahan along with
Andy Anderson.
And this evening we have the unfortunate duty to discuss the loss of Michigan to Maryland by a score of 23-16. And not only does it, for all intents and purposes, end Michigan's hope to make a bowl game, it also most likely ends Brady Hoke's tenure. Well, Andy, the game first. What did you think of that one?
Well, I thought it was, I thought really that Michigan played very well in some respects. They had more yardage, they more first downs. Some of the statistics favor them. But you can't keep making stupid errors, either in game management by the coaches or by just making dumb plays. And there were two of them that stands out without even thinking about it. And that was the kick, field goal, where our man ran into him, got called for roughing or something on that order. Anyway, we got a 15-yard out of it. We had them stopped. They were going to have three. We gave them six, eventually seven. And then there was the inexplicable call, I thought, by Brady Hoke, where we had fourth and six or seven, I think it was, fourth and six and seven, and we went for it and used the same old passing play that we've used all year. Anybody could guess this is going to come there. That was bad. And then there was the failed punt return where Norfleet ran 52 yards into the end zone. And so we seemingly had a 22-point score, 22-point total to their 16, and that evaporated with a little PC Yellow on the ground. So all in all, it wasn't a well-managed game. We made stupid mistakes, and we beat ourselves. And at this point in Hope's career, I don't think that that can be tolerated. I think that he is at the end of his rope as far as the Michigan coach now, and that they will find somebody else. Now, that's going to be interesting to see who they find, see what they do both as for an athletic director and for a coach. But I think it's going to, I think all this signals a regime change.
You know, the thing that disappointed me in the game is that when I broke down, you know, the preview for the game, Maryland, when I broke down film on this game, it was very clear that Maryland really should have had a one-dimensional attack. They had lost a number of wide receivers before the season started. Their top receiver was out with an injury. Another receiver was out for breaking team rules. So I really thought that this one lined up for Michigan. You had a team that should have struggled to pass the ball, they hadn't had a lot of success running, and Michigan's strength is stopping the run. So as anemic as Michigan's offense is, you know, I picked the score 17-9. You know, I really thought that was a pretty good guess, and you know, we were on track for that because Maryland has a really good field goal kicker. I expected our defense to contain them, but again, they're going to kick, you know, it's not that hard when you have a good field goal kicker to get in range. And what we saw was that Maryland not only ran for nearly 150 yards, but they passed for 165 yards. And on the other hand, you look at Michigan, we ran for almost 300, and only passed for about 100. So you look at that, and you know the Michigan offense would move, and you know the thing about that game, Andy, is that it was just a microcosm of the entire season. The offense struggled, the defense was good for most of the game, and then in that fourth quarter they were outscored 14-0.
And they can't handle a hurry up.
Oh yeah, and you know the other that's a good point. As much as we talk about how good the defense has been, and I think good is a relative term, okay? Because the offense is frankly a joke. You know, I'm getting really tired of, you know, we've heard it from Madison, and after the game we heard it, you know, oh, we didn't expect him to do X. You didn't expect him to run hurry up? I mean, is that some exotic move that offenses just pulled out? And you know we've heard things, you know, I guess I'm just kind of, you know, shaking my head. It's like, oh, so, and you know the other thing is if they hadn't mismanaged their timeouts, you know, you would have a timeout to call to stop the you know, slow down the hurry up. So you had a game where they mismanaged timeouts. I think you had a game where you know, you had that inexplicable penalty that turned into a touchdown. You had the, you know, we've been waiting all year for Norfleet to break a long run. At least I have.
And finally.
And then he does, and you got a penalty. It's just, you look at that game, and where Michigan is right now is they are not nearly good enough to overcome bad penalties. They're not nearly good enough to overcome, even if you want to call it a bad call. I mean, when you're a bad team, you need everything to go your way. And frankly, being at home, things were already slotted their way. I mean, they're at home. It's senior day. Again, Maryland is, even though Maryland was already bowl eligible, they were, you know, they had some serious issues on offense. And really, the game was setting up for Michigan to barely win, be bowl eligible, and hopefully, you know, if they could have ridden that momentum to be respectable down in Columbus. And now I really don't know what they have to play for. I mean, we have seen this team kind of battle back from adversity and not play great, but at least play, you know, together. And for the life of me, I can't imagine, you know, them not getting just completely blown out versus Ohio State.
Well, even if they don't get blown out at first, even if they make it a game for a half or something like that, you just don't think that they're going to have the guts and glue to go ahead and when they begin to get behind, not fold. So at some point in time, I kind of worry against Ohio State that they will fold, but we'll see. They play together. Maybe since they know this may be Brady's last game, that it will ensue. You know, when a coach retires quite often, in the last game that coach has or coaches, team does very well. Maybe that'll be an effect for this one, because it seems to me that Brady is at the end of the line there as the coach. I don't see how they can go on, especially if Ohio State puts a big lopsided defeat on them in the bowl, in my unfavorite bowl. You say that's a pretty nice place, though, huh?
Well, you know, I don't know if I would use the word nice. The big thing about going to see a game at Ohio State is it's just like Notre Dame. I mean, it's a classic venue. A lot of history has happened there. You know, I wish that I was going there and had some, you know, some realistic expectation of us winning. I mean, the big problem that I see, and this is the question I have for you is, you know, I see no way on God's green earth that we score enough points, okay? So the question is, you know, what happened to the offense this year? Because I think whatever happened started last year, and, you know, it's just gotten worse. I mean, you know, having all, you know, 11 of the 12 games in the books, and having watched each one and talked to the players and talked to the coaches, what do you think happened, Andy?
Well, I think it's part of it's schematic and institutional into the kind of offense they designed. For a long time, they were trying to put Devin under center. I think that's the last place the man should play, that he was much better out of a spread. Devin had been hurt some, and of course that makes a difference. But institutionally, something has been wrong with that offense all year. They have not been able to score any points, and other times when they've had a poor offensive line, they still could score some points. They still put touchdowns on the board, but a couple of games, they went two whole games, I think, without scoring a touchdown. So I have to think in my own mind that Coach Nussmeier has not been an upgrade for that position, that he hasn't done anything that Borges didn't do or couldn't do, and hasn't been much better. That there, I think that coaching is a big part of it, that they tried to push him into a scheme where they didn't fit, and now they've got the offensive line is improving, and somebody on that offense had to improve. It's just a funny deal. Some of the wide receivers didn't run out their patterns. There's been a lack of communication between the receivers and the quarterbacks sometimes. It's just been a mess, and it's the kind of mess that you have when you're just not a very good football team. And that's exactly where this team is now, and I have to finally admit that.
Well,
I've been fighting saying that all year, but
Andy, you made a really good point. You mentioned that the offensive line finally has shown improvement, and they were really bad last year. They've been decent the last three or four games. And the thing that gets me, you know, one of the really aggravating things for me is that for a long time, we banged on the offensive line, and that was realistic. I mean, the line started out this year about as bad as last year. And you're watching it, and at least I'm watching it, and I'm thinking, well, you know, what is Devin Gardner going to do? And after the first couple games, I'm like, you know, you can fail in a better way, you know. I mean, there was a point during the Maryland game where he threw the ball out of bounds, and I laughed and said, oh, my God, he knows how to do it, right?
I remember, yeah.
You know, so here we're watching, you know, the offense versus Maryland. Gardner was obviously healthier than in past games. You know, he was running. And you look at it and say, you know, you ran for almost, you know, not Gardner, but the whole offense put together almost 300 yards on the ground. But, you know, eked out 16 points. So, you know, so add that up. You're running the ball, so the offensive line is doing their job there. They're doing the job, you know, giving Gardner time to throw. There was a lot of drop passes. He missed a lot of guys. And you look at that and you're just like, God, how? You know, you add up, you look at the roster on the offensive side of the ball, and they should not be this bad. And that's the thing keep coming back to.
Doesn't it make you wonder why they're so inconsistent? Remember when Gardner, at a key point in the game, took a long sack that you expected the rush to be coming because of the way the series was going, and all of a sudden they're all there nailing him for a big loss, killing a drive, putting him in bad position. So while the offensive line has been good at times, they have been subject all year to having particular plays where somebody misses an assignment, somebody gets caught on a block, somebody cuts for the wrong hole, they do something wrong, or just drop the ball. Once Gardner fumbled it, he recovered it, but it killed a drive. And that crap has gone on all year, and they haven't been able to coach it out of them. So, like I say, I've come to the realization that Michigan is no better than their record. That they are what their record is. They have tried and they have fought. The other thing that kind of bugs you, if you think about it, is that Brady all year has praised them for how they practice and the way they go at it with practice and their work ethic. And one has to wonder why that stuff does not translate into on the field and victories. It's inexplicable. If they're doing that good in practice all the time, why aren't they good when they take the field?
Well, there's a Andy, there's a couple ways to look at that. First, they're playing against each other, and both units suck. Or you know, that's just Hoke and his coach speak. I mean, you know, we've gone round and round. I don't necessarily expect Hoke to give us the straight dope on things. But, you know, the thing that's frustrating is that he kind of says the same stuff over and over again. And it makes me think more and more and I think it's obvious. He's out of answers. He's done. And, you know, you were in that post-game press conference, you know, after the game. And it was short, it was respectful, and it was somber. Because, you know, and it's interesting because a lot of people will say, well, why didn't he ask this and why didn't he hammer him on that? You know what? Every question has already been asked a dozen times. And you know what he's going to say. So, and I think everybody, you know, I think it's obvious to practically everybody in the room that was it. I mean, you kind of, I kind of thought that, you know, they would struggle through Indiana and Northwestern. And, you know, they very easily could have lost that Northwestern game. And they were going to beat Maryland, get beaten by Ohio State soundly, and probably lose the bowl game. Because I can't imagine them, you know, beating a very good team.
Well,
now, you know, they're not going to go to a bowl game. Okay, I mean, let's be realistic about that. And what really comes back to haunt them, besides that they're not a great team, is that, you know, you lose to Rutgers, you lose to Utah. I mean, you look at some of those early season games, and they got so far behind the eight ball that they had no margin for error, and they're not a good team. And I think that the thing that I want to go back to is, you know, if we look at the arc of Brady Hoke, okay, and especially the last two seasons, something broke against Penn State last year, okay? And if I had to graph where things started to go wrong, you know, there was that game against Penn State where they seemingly had control, and Penn State surged back, forced overtime, and they lost in overtime. And from that point on, I would say Gardner was not the same player. The offense just, you know, and I do think it pivots on Gardner. You know, if you remember that game, they really went away from riding Gardner and, you know, tried to have him pass out of it. And they tried to, you know, run out of it. And, you know, they got bitten. And it really seems to me that, you know, after that, okay, Gardner's had two really good performances. He had the game versus Ohio State where really he had a really good fourth quarter, okay? And then he had the game versus Appalachian State. But, you know, there was a discussion, and I know you were part of it, I think, in the press box, where somebody said, you know, you look at Gardner, and he's a great guy, he's a good kid, he has all the physical tools to be a great quarterback, but there's something broken in his decision-making that, you know, Al Borges couldn't fix it, you know, Doug Nussmeier can't fix it, and, you know, he's not going to play quarterback in the NFL. You know, talent-wise, he may be, you know, they may give him a chance to switch positions and play receiver. But at some point last year, the collapse began, and it's been utter and devastating. And, you know, I think back to that, you know, the 1-4 November last year, where they were blown out against Michigan State. They lost in the last, closing minutes against Iowa. They lost in the closing minutes versus Nebraska. They lost in the closing minutes versus, the closing seconds of Ohio State. And they just never bounced back. They rolled over against Kansas State. And I think if we had to, do a post-mortem on Brady Hoke's career at Michigan, I would say the top problem that he had was not developing quarterback talent. And I would say that for the starter and the backups, because Devin Gardner has regressed since Brady Hoke showed up. We have no suitable backup. And entering the season, I wasn't surprised that Gardner struggled. From what we saw last year.
Phil, after a bit, that kid has been besieged. He's been under a barrage all year. And once last year I heard him say at a press conference, they were talking about the rush that was put on him. He said, "I just hope they didn't kill me." And he was joking in a twinkle in his eye and everything, but there was a grain of truth to that. This kid has taken one heck of a beating his whole career as a quarterback, especially this past year.
All right.
He's been beat up a lot, and I think that is...
I will concede that, but my issue is this, okay? The reason I bring this up is not just him. It's the whole quarterback position, okay? So say he's
getting... I agree with you 100%
so
there.
So if he gets pounded...
They haven't developed anybody.
If he gets pounded, there's nobody, right? If he gets
that's
hurt...
Right.
And that's what I'm saying is that I think, again... I will concede that Gardner had it rough. I get it, okay? But again, it's not just Gardner. There's nobody else. So
My point was, though, that he hasn't had any fun. He hasn't looked like he's been having any fun playing football this year. And if you don't have a little fun, if it's a chore, if the thing is weighing on your back all the time, and it's something where you're always pounded, you're always not physically hurting and stuff like that. The other thing is that Gardner is not Denard Robinson, and Robinson covered up so many of the structural flaws in Michigan's offense that can't be covered up by Gardner because he's not the same guy. When you had a healthy Robinson, you had one thing. That nobody else could match. But anyway, I think there's structural problems in both the offense and the defense. The defense has trouble with the hurry-up offenses because the way Madison substitutes in, puts specialty people in there all the time. That constant substitution means that they're going to have trouble getting communication when there's a hurry up, and obviously because they've lost two or three games that I remember where they've had a lead and the defense just didn't hold in that last few minutes when the hurry up was in or in the last part of the first half. So it's kind of a sad situation to see Michigan at this point after 4 years of Brady's regime, and I'm sure that Holt feels no better about it than we do, and probably a whole lot worse. But it is what it is, and they couldn't change it this year. The coaches couldn't, and they're paid big money to do it. It's a big boy business, and it probably is time for Michigan to look elsewhere.
I agree. I mean, it's sad because I know that we both like Brady.
Yep, we wanted him to succeed.
And the issue that I really have right now, you gave me a hard time about how disappointed I looked after the game, but the reality
we
is
we were all disappointed.
The reality is that when you have the access that you and I do, and you get to talk to these. To the players. At least, I'll speak for myself. I really feel bad for them. You look at that, and you're talking to Jake Ryan, and that he's put the work in, And, you know, not that somebody else hasn't, but you know, looking at Jake Ryan playing, he's put the work in. And there's not going to be a happy ending for this. And
no.
And it's just like, I mean, you look back at, you know, the players who played for Rich Rod, there wasn't a happy ending there. And
right. Let me give you this. Do you think that the exceptional level of angst that we all have because of Hulk's record this year, that part of it is built on the fact that it has been so long that there was another regime there that also failed in a different way, but they've come out about at the same place, both of them?
I think it's just been
so long. When do you remember having confidence that the University of Michigan football team that was put on the field was the best possible team they could have?
Well, and you know, the point that you had is that, you know, what I remember the last several years of Lloyd's regime was that there was always one or two early season disappointments that you just knew that just set the table and set your expectation that you knew the team wasn't great. Okay? Like, you just knew. You could go back every year and they'd not just lose, but lose, you know, a bad game. And Lloyd's last year, of course, I mean, the roof fell in. You know, you started off with App State and went down from there. So it has been a while. I mean, you can go back and look, and they haven't won the Big Ten since 2004. It's been 10 years. So, and I think what's funny is that you can look back, and 2004 was probably the last year. You can go back and look, and it used to be that we could expect to compete for the Big Ten, win the Big Ten, and go out and lose the Rose Bowl. And we were tired of that. Well, how tired are we of this crap? So, you know, we got one more game ahead, and, you know, we'll hope for the best. But, you know, I would say that my expectations are pretty low for that game. So,
steer yourself for the worst, though, and hope for the best, eh?
So, we will reconvene after that game. That's going to do it for this edition of the UMGoBlue.com podcast. This is Phil Callahan.
And Andy Anderson.
Go Blue. Thank you for listening to the UMGoBlue.com podcast. All rights reserved. Search for UMGoBlue.com on iTunes. Go Blue.